What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
We are live. We are so excited to be here on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. My name, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, host of the Patriot Power Hour. This is episode 80, January 21st, 2020. Again, the inaugural appearance on the PBN. Let me introduce right now my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. We're live, buddy.
Thanks for having me on your original Patriot Power Hour show, Ben, and it's come a long way, and it's been brought all the way to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, and I'm really proud of our accomplishment. Thank you to the intrepid commander of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, James Walton, for inviting
Prepper
us
Prepper Broadcasting
on.
Network.
Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I will make that proviso. We will accidentally say Patriot Broadcasting Network occasionally, but we're going to get over that. By at least, give us three episodes, okay? But we are super stoked to be on the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We got all the breaks Patriot set Power up Hour. With the music and the sound effects. If you're new to the show, we take breaks. We take three of them. We take at each quarter, coming out and in with a little music, little movie quotes, a little advertising for our sponsors. We got a great pair of Prepper Broadcasting Network sponsors spots, so stay tuned for those.
Absolutely, absolutely. Really looking forward to bringing our game to the next level, and that's what we consider the PBN. It is the next level. We went from Bush League to some big-time stuff here, given all the guests and shows already here on the PBN. Super exciting. We did a real quick daily audio cache yesterday. Just 5 or 6 minutes. Actually, no, it was exactly 9 minutes and 11 seconds, which was a little odd and ironic, but regardless... That was fun. That was our first true foray. We got, you know what we got? We got more than five times as many listeners just from Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Yeah,
I was amazed to see how many people are involved on this network. So again, we hit the big leagues, in my opinion. I'm super stoked.
We're grateful to be here, yeah. And thank you all for listening. And we're going to hit some news in the second segment, which we always do. We're going to hit the... Future Danger heat map dashboard and run through the day's headlines. But starting off, we usually just pick one topic that is the hottest in the current news and cover it. This weekend, the Intrepid Commander was in Richmond for major gun rally. 22,000 attended, and it was a large crowd, and it's estimated up to 15,000 were armed. So it was a major armed protest in the state capital of Virginia. He was there. Great coverage, blog posting on the website that covers where he was. He did videos, so check that out. Coming out of it, though, it was peaceful, sort of a non-event. All the Antifa, hype that was, throwing around social media. Seven buses of Seven Hills Antifa coming from somewhere armed, it didn't materialize.
Yeah, thankfully. Now, it's not just thankfully. I'm sure there was action taken and word was spread, and it was, we fought against this. I consider this a victory that it was so peaceful, but it makes sense. I don't have the exact founding father quote or the exact quote, but an armed society is a polite society. You know, these people were cleaning up their trash in the streets from several different reports I saw. Like, afterwards, they were cleaning up. That's how respectful they were. So that's a far... That's a not even a far deviation. It's the total opposite of what a lot of the mainstream media was portraying. I even saw some local news in that area that was saying, you know, it's all going to be Confederate flag waving, gun nut, Walmart camo, rednecks out there, racist, just essentially a racist
rally,
kind of being covered up with the Second Amendment. It sounds like, and everything I saw as well, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, totally. And that message went out throughout the airwaves in the days running up to it, throughout the weekend. And chances are there's a massive segment of our society who wanted to think that true, heard it once, and just went around repeating it thereafter, too. So despite the fact that on Monday it wasn't that wasn't the reality at all, the people that attended, the people that are there to preserve the Second Amendment in Virginia, are reacting. They're reactionary because of just mistruths that were, you know, thrown all the way around the infosphere 2 days ahead of time.
You know what's absolutely hilarious, but it's not just funny. It's actually a great teaching moment, I think, and a way for us to realize ways for us to win. I was, again, following some of the local news in that area, and there were comment sections, right? And in the last few days before the rally, those comment sections were full of folks saying, you know, it's going to be a huge racist crowd, there's going to be violence, and these are the people in the comments.
Yeah.
And then there was a good contingent fighting back.
That's what Twitter was, too.
Good amount. But then you go to the articles from yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Those folks were nowhere to be seen, and the funny thing was, those that were supporting the rally and the protest were just celebrating, and it was good, like brotherhood. It's like, look,
right.
It was no bullets were fired, no one was hurt. We, it was a victory for the Second Amendment. I'm like, hell yeah. Seeing that just in the comments, I know it's internet keyboard warfare garbage, whatever, but I think it's important. But regardless, you can see it. But it's because people went out into the streets. It's not just they were sitting home. So it was a victory out there in the 3D world, right?
It's tens of thousands. So it was not insignificant. And whether the Virginia Senate passes the bills that they advanced, I guess, out of what resembles, you know, out of committee into the full Senate vote, that vote's supposed to still take place. And, you know, one of them's a red flag law that upon the decree of a judge, you're disarmed. And that's the Second Amendment, but more importantly, it's the Fourth and the Fifth, searching your home, searching your person, and denying you, you know, having a charge brought against you before any with evidence before, you know, taking things away, you know, and other states have implemented this across the country. And whether that continues to come to Virginia is still a real possibility, because it seems that the governor and the legislature in Virginia isn't going to back down. That's the headlines today.
Yeah, no, I mean, the people have spoken and they've demonstrated peacefully. But that doesn't mean the government's going to do what they are hoping for here, you know.
Not their voters. They're going. They're going to go and grab the guns and put in the laws that lay that down as a path.
Well, that's why, and we're not going to go totally down this diatribe, but this is the type of discussion we have on Patriot Power Hour, okay? I cringe when people call it a democracy, because it's not a democracy. It's a republic, right? It's not, hey, 60% of people say take your guns and they do it. It's not 80% of people vote to take your guns and they do it, unless they go through the proper constitutional. Even then, we'd have a problem. It
gets dangerous when those numbers start coming against
right.
you.
So we were at that point. So, but I'm saying, you know, when people say, oh, the democracy we believe in and fight for and stuff, it's not a democracy insofar as they could just vote 51-49, right? Or even 60-40.
Yeah, I think most Americans are well aware of the fact that there's rights that are impervious theoretically to votes, and then you know, a big share of them don't care.
Right.
They're happy with it just being voted away. They're in favor of that. That's what we're up against. The people who vote for the politicians who think that way are a real problem. The Second Amendment doesn't matter anymore because we set ordinances in place that, you know, essentially make exercising it impossible.
Yeah. I always like to read it inalienable rights. You cannot place a lien upon them because they were given by God. So therefore, man cannot take these rights away.
Inalienable.
That's how I like to look at it. Everyone says inalienable. Inalienable. That's how I put it. Anyway, massive shout out, though, to the Intrepid Commander for going there and reporting in. I checked out his daily audio cache. It's super cool. Glad nothing went down. I know if it did, though, he was going to be there and would help get the word out. Unless, of course, they had an internet shutdown in the area. But that did not happen. Everything seemed to work out. And, you know, great job, Intrepid Commander.
The surveillance collection apparatus in the buildings and the vehicles on the government property, aerial drones, everything that the government had was clearly applied to that crowd.
Yep.
The scanning, the facial recognition, it has to have been in effect in certain places, especially if you entered into the caged inner Capitol Hill.
And I'm sure you'd definitely agree for every, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg. That's 10% of what they were actually communicating at that time is 10% of what research went on. In the background, massive algorithms
license plate
throughout
readers,
their entire social media history, criminal record, background
stingrays checks. Stingrays were in effect.
All this is running simultaneously. They know you're in that area. They're already got an entire profile of you.
Vans that collect every IP address coming off those phones, every aspect of who has them and where they are.
Yeah,
that happened.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Just us talking about it probably got us on, quote, unquote, the list. But if you ain't on the list, you ain't doing it right. So, that's Patriot Power Hour. That's the type of topics we get into. In the second segment, as promised, future Dan is going to lead us through the News Blitz. I want you guys to do some homework while we go to the first break. Go to futuredanger.com. Futuredanger.com. No hyphens or anything. Futuredanger.com. Load that up. We're going to use that as the basis for the weekly news blitz for January 21st, 2020. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Do stick with us. Check out our little sponsors here. We'll be right back. Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We got 45 seconds to talk about this one.
At the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
I expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Episode 80, Patriot Power Hour, 21st of January, 2020. Here's your news, column one, Liberty column, privacy betrayed. We have a new report that Apple dropped plans to let iPhone users encrypt backups of their devices after the FBI complained. Virginia, the Senate, we talked about it. Passing limited firearm purchases, background check on private transfers. Virginia Supreme Court, of course, upheld the ban on firearms at the upcoming rally in the state's capital. What in effect they did was they put a big cordon around the capital. More privacy news. U.S. fourth worst abuser of biometric privacy rights in the world. That article is up in column one under privacy. Annihilated today. Same indicator. App is coming out. Let strangers identify you with facial recognition. Bet you might be real happy you put your face on Facebook when someone can come up and zip you in the face and now know who you are. Yes, that app is coming out. Calls for it to be banned probably are going to be following. Still, privacy under assault. New Mexico bills to authorize seizure of firearms without due process simultaneously occurring with Virginia. Former vice president links the current president to the Ku Klux Klan this weekend. That's under the indicator political opponents officially vilified. Although Biden doesn't hold office, he is a former vice president, and that's pretty extreme. It's topical news, graded green on the heat map scale, 1 through 5. Nevertheless, it's the type of thing we track because it can escalate. Congressman sued by physicians for censoring vaccine debate. That's in free speech being abridged. Shifty Shift is the congressman. Column 2, security news. Today, North Korea ends its moratorium on missile tests, nuclear enrichment. Richmond 2A rally. Thousands converge on the Capitol under armed citizens protest. Simultaneously, tens of thousands of armed citizens, nearly tens of thousands armed. The official count of armed attendance is not known, but 22 in total. So these indicators may be low-level news, but when they strike simultaneous to other events, for example, an economic crisis or a foreign war, you'll see a full SHFT scenario unfold on the heat map. Abroad, Middle East, Saudi Arabia shoots down ballistic missile fired towards the city. U.S. forces in a tense showdown with Russian convoy on blocked Syrian highway. Navy exercise near Florida to cause widespread GPS interference. That's ongoing. We got a Google whistleblower now saying publicly that his wife's fatal car crash may not have been accidental. In the Mediterranean, Turkish jets conduct a record 91 Greek airspace violations on a single day. Why is that news? Why should you care? They're NATO allies. And if that alliance fractured and began to crack because of stuff like that, where could it lead? Who could exploit it? Judge blocks the president from allowing states to reject refugee settlements. Current immigration news, things still being blocked, policies of the president still being blocked by the courts. We're going to jump over to column four, nature and man, and our relationship and science's involvement in both. We got a killer superbug attacking the body with pneumonia. That is the Wuhan seafood market out of Wuhan, China, originating disease. CDC confirms first U.S. case of this coronavirus. It's SARS-like. We had a SARS epidemic a number of years ago. It killed nearly 800 people. This is a new SARS-like virus. It spread, and it's confirmed. It spreads through human contact. Spread out of China, across the Middle East, or the Far East, and into Japan, and now it's in Washington State. That's of tonight, 21st of January, 2020. Volcanoes still active around the world. Philippines, Ecuador, Ring of Fire. Earthquakes simultaneously in Papua New Guinea and China, 6.0s. Massive dust storm smothering Australia on the heels of the mega blazes the country suffered. The mass extinction or extinction-like scenario for a lot of its wildlife. And now, bringing it back to where we always finish on Patriot Power Hour, column three, because of the economic impact. And really, the origins of the show. This show was solo hosted by my co-host, Bankster Breaker, Ben Cochran, a number of years ago. And he was really coming out of the heels of the financial crisis and his rejection of fiat money system. Well, here's your news today in that arena. President's top economist, Larry Kudlow, in Davos, Switzerland, says the Fed T-bill purchases are basically quantitative easing. All right? And that's simultaneous to another Fed overnight intervention for $59 billion. We got the Dallas Fed president coming out and saying low interest rates surge in banks' balance sheet, maybe pumping up risky assets. That's really only three headlines in column three, Ben, for economic news, but they're graded on the high end of severity insofar as those three indicators, debt massively monetized, extreme after-hour repos reported, and risky banking recognized. That stuff's happening, and it's happening right under our noses while we dwell on things like the Second Amendment, and we dwell on things like privacy, or perhaps not enough of us are, and all those developments abroad. We have quantitative easing again. It's the same mechanism that happened right after the last financial crisis and really kept the previous president's economy afloat.
Yep. Well, this is the 80th episode of Patriot Power Hour, at least the iteration with you and I as co-hosts. If you go back into the archive the last couple of years, we started November 2017, in the third column of FutureDanger.com at the very bottom is that archive. Again, FutureDanger.com is the entire news dashboard. Third column, go to the bottom, it'll say Patriot Power Hour Radio Archive. If you actually go through and go listen to September and October December and now January of this year.
Repos.
We've been talking about repos almost every episode.
Repo crisis.
Calling it quantitative easing. Not just basically quantitative easing, but essentially as the floodgates are just as wide open as they've ever been.
Yeah.
Because they are interfering, and it's simply interfering with the free market, quote-unquote free market.
President's doing simply it right before the election, too.
To $60, $70, $80, $90-plus billion a night. Now, these are repo operations. They're repaid the next day. But we're still talking $70, $80, $90 billion in emergency. This is like emergency payday lender level. And the reason the Fed is involved is because back in September, and we covered it ad nauseum, won't go too far into it right now, but the repo market broke and we saw interest rates going from 2% overnight to 10%.
Nobody would lend to
rising.
Each other. None of those banks would lend to each other.
Exactly. It's like when you did math algebra back in the day and you get like a imaginary number. that's kind of what happened. It broke, and there's no answer. It's not 10% or 20% or 80%. Maybe at 80% they would start lending to each other again. But the banks themselves, those primary dealers, the J.P. Morgan, Citi, Bank.
Yeah, but a little bit higher, and there was major banks going out of business.
Well, yes, and no one trusted them enough because they're supposed to get those funding, that overnight lending, from their peers. It's supposed to be a market, and they make money off each other. It's supposed to be a private market, but obviously it's not. And it became such an emergency that the Fed had to intervene. Simultaneously, in the past year plus, time is flying, but you'll remember about the first 40 episodes we did together, the Fed was raising rates.
Yeah.
Contracting tightening. The balance.
Tightening, not easing.
Exactly.
Tightening.
And they totally reversed course in summer last year and accelerated.
President screamed bloody murder and called out the Fed, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, by name and on tweets as well, and said they didn't know what they're doing. And now, let me ask you this. Is an elected constitutional officer of the United States finally in control of the Federal Reserve?
I would say absolutely not, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have some influence.
Seems like it.
That doesn't mean he's in control, though. In the end.
He got what he wanted.
Short term.
No president ever tried to do this. Not publicly. Johnson is purported to have, used physical force against his Fed chair, but never publicly.
Well, one of the reasons, one of the conspiracies, JFK got his head blown off, was challenging the Fed, among others. He definitely did challenge it to some degree. Didn't get through with his plans by any means. I wonder why. I will not peg.
Wow, we took it there.
Yeah. I will not peg. I will not peg this just on Trump by any means. This is a true emergency, in my opinion. So it is. There's some political aspect, but it's a lot bigger than just politics when you're talking about central banking.
So we're new to Spreaker, and while we're new to Spreaker, we're going to figure out how to play our music and effects. First show on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, so we're going to go into Master Block Break 2. This time, we're going to talk a little bit over the top of Metallica, because we have bumpers in, bumpers out. Try to have fun with it.
Yep, absolutely. And I promise our sound quality will improve. We're going to change these levels. We did a lot of testing before this show, but I'm also in the market for some better equipment, so we're going to be upgrading as we hit the big leagues here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network. That's it for the first half.
Patriot
Power Hour, episode 80. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Those willing and wanting, but unable to help themselves. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Follow Hollow socks are constructed from 80% baby alpaca fiber, 15% nylon, and 5% spandex. The alpaca fiber is sourced from Peru, but the socks themselves are manufactured in North Carolina. What's unique about alpaca fibers is due to the hollow nature of the fibers. It does a fantastic job at moisture wicking. Other benefits to alpaca fibers are that it's hypoallergenic and it's naturally non-itchy. Visit Prepper Broadcasting Network for a coupon code. Another great prep at a great price from PBN.
Intend to ship out the entire French population of the United States? Along with any other luckless soul who happens to voice a contrary opinion?
Well, if that contrary opinion threatens to divide the nation at a time when we must stand united, then yes, I will do just that. I'm entrusted with the nation's safety. Thomas. So these war measures will protect us from insurrection and subversion.
There is no war.
And that is the principle behind these measures. The prevention of war.
Cannot protect the nation by attacking the right of every man to speak freely without fear. You're trampling on the Constitution.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Back, we are live, second half of the 80th episode Patriot Power Hour, and our inaugural episode here on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Super stoked. If you got any feedback for us, better or worse, make sure to check out our social media. Follow myself at Bankster Breaker, at Bankster Breaker, and my co-host Future Dan. You can follow him at Future Danger 6. That's the number 6. At Future Danger 6 on Twitter. We also have a page on the Prepper Broadcast Network website now, which we're going to be updating with our contact info and a little more about the show and our archives and stuff. So definitely hit us up. We're really looking forward to talking with the audience out here.
So in the last half of the show, being that's our debut on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, wanted to get into a new article from Survivalpedia, authored by a gentleman named Bob Rogers. I haven't met Bob, but I read his article, and it is outstanding. And it's entitled, Why You Need to Acknowledge These Four Levels of Preparedness. Basically, what I did for our show is condense it down to the aspects that define these four levels, according to Mr. Rogers. And then we're going to relate it back to the heat map and some other things that how we approach Patriot Power Hour's role in preparing for this. All right, so as my co-host prepares to digest this with me, we're ready to go. Level one. Designed for minor disasters for up to 2 weeks. And by the way, Roger's article is much longer than this.
Okay.
And I highly recommend reading the entire thing because there's lots of tactics and tips and perspectives on being prepared that I'm not going to mention right now. I'm okay. Just going bare bones skeleton because we're going to react to the core of his message, all right?
All right.
Level one, designed for minor disasters up to 2 weeks, all right? We're talking severe weather, regional blackouts, storms, floods, snow, disturbances to utilities, hospital, fire, police resources will go to keep those running. That kind of level one. Okay, so that's the thing that, you know, FEMA's putting the message out on, telling people, be this ready, right? Are you that ready, Mr. Cochran?
Personally, yes, I believe level one, I could pass. Except the one thing I need, I will admit, I wish I had more first aid medical skills. I don't need to be a field surgeon.
Well, let me get into what the article says about what you need, okay?
Okay.
So maybe you got enough. We'll find out. Okay. All right. So, but the important thing is, you know, the first responders, hospitals, those are not necessarily available during this. We got 2 weeks, no electricity, no water is kind of the scenario. Not more than that. And what the article suggests is heat source is primary for cooking. And I'm kind of thinking that I could personally bear 2 weeks without hot food, but that's what the article says. Does that match up with what you think you'd need to have?
In terms of what I can put together or what I think I need?
To be prepared for level one. 2 weeks, no electricity, no water flowing.
Yeah. It would not be comfortable, but easily survivable.
Right, but would you have to cook your food?
I mean, I have... quote, you know, preps to boil water and just have some dried food that you boil up. Is that
okay? So what you MREs? Have a heating yeah, source.
Definitely.
You're going to have to cook for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of thinking that I could do without. I mean, it wouldn't be great. I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't have to heat food.
Nah.
So if I'm in a warm climate, I don't necessarily know if a heating source and enough fuel to last is my top gotta have.
Okay.
But it's on his list. It was in the article. And probably most people do kind of think that way. They kind of want to be able to cook their food. Proper first aid kit is number two, and it's obviously the first thing that came to your mind. Medicine 1 month ahead, because even though it'll recover for, you know, within 2 weeks, if you have prescriptions especially, anything you need, better be prepared to wait much longer. So that's on the level one level of preps. Light producing source that requires no power, okay? Candles, solar lamps, okay? That's what he's recommending. Battery operated radio, obvious. Staying up to date with it is and trying to also have a source for comms to know when the government says it's time to evacuate. It's kind of level one.
Okay.
Now that I've gotten to this.
I feel as if this is more of a comfort versus... It's more of a question of comfort compared to survivability, at least for myself and anyone who's somewhat prepared, right? I mean, of course, really bad things can happen in this scenario. You could be severely injured or looters, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're just thinking of a massive power outage due to a storm, everything comes back within 2 weeks, you know, you're not going to have a fun time. You're going to be uncomfortable. You might have some property damage, but it's not like a survival scenario.
My reaction is that I'm totally... in agreement with almost everything on that list, but I wouldn't prioritize the heat source unless it was cold. Of course, if it's cold, you know, then that's what, you know, being able to burn fires are, yeah. And that's pretty obvious. Most people could do that.
I would expect 98% of the listeners of Prepper Broadcast Network are give this one a check mark.
Yeah. All right. Level two. Crisis lasts up to a month. Now it's getting serious. All sorts of events that will disrupt or break the supply chain occur. Can you think of a few that we've talked about in the recent news? You know, because after risky banking's recognized and after the extreme, after our repos become unprecedented after our repos, and after bank machines start running out of cash, and after presidential declarations and Federal Reserve declarations and hasty acts of Congress, there may be no supply chain coming near you if we had a meltdown of the economy. Will it happen? I don't know. Could it happen? Certainly could. Hurricanes, massive flood, that type of thing could also get you up for a month. Paralyzed, right? Are you ready for one of those?
A lot harder. This is one where, like, if you sustained an injury or your house was destroyed early on, you
trouble.
Would be in big trouble.
Trouble, yeah.
If I was just able to hunker in and my neighbors within, you know, walking distance were not totally devastated and weren't trying to come get help, et cetera, et cetera. If I was able to, you know, ideal situation, I could last a month. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot less room for error, right? That's kind of how I look at it. And again, if you are vulnerable maybe you're vulnerable because you need medication, or you're caring for elderly folks or children, or, you know, if you break your leg early on, it is potentially you could die in this scenario. A lot more serious, I guess.
Yeah, it's not like a complete absence of government and the ability to do the most serious medical emergencies necessarily, but in a 1 month affair like this, which it's been a long time since the United States has endured this, but regions lived like this during the Great Depression without a doubt. Supply trucks stop coming in this scenario. Modern day, when the supply trucks stop coming, everybody doesn't produce their own food is in big trouble.
I put
right?
this on Katrina level, kind of. Katrina's like a 1.5 to a 2.
Yeah,
I would think
that region had it for sure. Yeah. I don't know about a full month before the National Guard finally got in there.
Sure.
But it was days, several days. Blackout, gas crisis could also occur economically or for whatever reason. You know, the everybody looks abroad for the EMP capabilities of our enemies, too. You know, that blackout, gas crisis, okay, those things occur. You know, you have to scale up twice as many supplies is what the article says. Now, I'd be interested if listeners would dispute that and say, no, it's not just a matter of 2 weeks you got enough, so just times two for a month's supply, because you don't think that this kind of blackout or regional isolation, inability to get commercially delivered supplies, you're probably an inadequate government response in the eyes of most people, right? That's how most people are going to think about it. It's, the government should be here taking care of me, and they're not going to be happy when it's not happening, right? I don't think you go 1 + 1 = 2 on that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking a lot of prudent people will say there's a multiplier in there. It's not what Mr. Rogers in this article says. Not to say it's not an excellent article, but on that note, the scale up is not necessarily double, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I certainly didn't train in the military, but I think a saying, at least the olden days that I heard, was 2 = 1 and 1 = none. So
yeah,
I really need like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'd imagine safe, triple, right? Is probably an affordable stock to manage, right? Because a lot of, you know, the perishables and stuff will turn over, and even canned goods have expiration. So you know, maintaining a 3-month supply at all times for that, if you're planning for that 1 month scenario like this. Here's other features of this, of a level two, right?
Okay.
It's, you know, what the article says is generators are a must. One generator that could power an entire house and the fuel to do it. Another smaller, even solar-based generator to handle light and low energy needs. After 2 weeks, desperate people will start to panic, and chaos might set in your region, all right? So preppers will attract people. Defensive weapons are a must at this level. Obviously, people have them because they want it through all four levels. But at level two, it's starting to become mandatory that you're armed. And, you know, again, he goes back to a cooking capability from a propane-style camp stove or Dutch oven. Here's where I flip on it, right? On level one, I said you could probably go without cooking the food.
Okay.
But he makes a point, you know, there's such a thing called food fatigue.
Yeah.
And if you start eating canned foods for a long period of time, a lot of people that may be members of your family as well, they'll stop eating because they're sick of it.
Right.
But they're not keeping themselves up physically.
Right.
That's a real problem.
I could believe it for sure. I would get sick in like a week of that, but literally a month, 2+ months, etc. would be crazy.
Sanitation will become harder as time goes by. Water gathering, purifying, management of water. These are things in the level two that have to be accounted for, thought about, and a lot of this network's dedicated to at least getting people thinking along these lines.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to be going to break here on the final segment.
Level three and level four.
Absolutely.
The hardcore, the real disaster scenarios, the doom. We're going to talk about it in a realistic way, sober way.
We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
Reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Want to talk to a specific guest on the show? Want to get your product on PBN? Just want to have your say? Drop us a line. Email iamlibertyshow@gmail.com.
Should victory fall to Britain, as it most surely must, then the Bourbons are likely to regain the throne of France.
Any dealings with the current illegitimate government there could well redound to our detriment.
Leading us back into a war with Britain we can ill afford to wage.
What if the French, not the British, emerge victorious, Mr. Hamilton? The pretender Bonaparte is within a hair's breadth of victory over most of Europe.
In that regrettable instance, we must be prepared to take possession of valuable strategic territory before France can lay her hands on it. All the territory this side of the Mississippi must be ours.
You would seize Spanish Florida and Louisiana.
And not only those, sir. If universal empire is to be the pursuit of France, what contended to defeat their purpose better than to detach South America from Spain? It is the only channel through which the riches of Mexico and Peru convey to France. Let us not forget there are those in our own country, sir, who would prefer secession to our continued union. If they should be so bold as to act on their threats, in the event, say, of a French victory, we must be prepared to bring the renegades back into the fold by force if necessary.
Never in my life have I heard a man speak more like a fool.
Sir,
Your actions, Mr. Hamilton, would precipitate the very thing that you pretend to protect against. The dissolution of this nation. May I inform you as well, sir, that I am in possession of intelligence which confirms that we are as likely to find a French army on these shores as we are on the moon. You dream of empire, Mr. Hamilton.
You question my loyalty, sir.
Oh, no, Mr. Hamilton, I question your sanity. Now, either you are stark raving mad, or I am. Good day, sir.
Power Hour, we are back, we are live, our final segment of the show, January 21st, 2020, the 80th episode of Patriot Power Hour, but the first on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. So stoked to be here, Ben the Breaker and Banksters. Continuing on where we just went, I want to throw it over to Future Dan.
Before we do that, I want to preview the show that's coming up right after this show. It's The Next Generation. It's Colin and Ryan Buford, father-son team, and they live the life. They talk about their preps. They talk about what it means to live the lifestyle. We're a news-oriented, current events-oriented show, but they're foundational what this network was built on. Great show. Check it out. Stay right with us. We're going to jump off of our broadcast here and give them about 5 minutes time to get our show cleared out, and then about 1 minute he'll start up back-to-back shows for the first time on Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. So, getting back into prepping. We are not experts per se, but I personally am a practicing prepper. I'm going to learn a lot from folks on this network, I know, to improve it. Quick recap before I throw it back over to you. Level one, it's kind of the two-week
scenario.
What FEMA advises you in terms of power outage, storm.
Suck it up, they're coming.
That's the way I look at it, too. Number two, a crisis, lasting up to a month. Katrina, or maybe a little worse.
Yeah.
Went through some examples, handed it over to you. We got two more levels to go.
Yeah, level two doesn't happen that often, but level three arguably hasn't happened in the modern age. None of us alive have gone through this. It includes events that many think won't happen.
Not in America, at least. Maybe Venezuela or Iraq, but not in America.
No, you're seeing it abroad. Yeah, but not living through it, right? It's just TV when it's happening over there. Significant impact for up to 3 months is what the author of the article says. Two-way communication equipment will be needed, like flat out. You're in trouble if you don't have it. Word of mouth will help you get more info, but will likely be partially false or incomplete. But you're going to be in a media blackout. You'll be at the mercy of whoever can gain and control mass media. And chances are that will be whatever government's functioning during a three-month crisis like this.
Well, I this is something I don't have ready to go.
Right.
I wish I did. I own actually a small ham radio, something really cool I actually got for free. Thank you very much to one of our old sponsors. And I know how to receive with it, but I definitely don't know how to use it, communicate with it. I don't think I'd be able to keep it charged for more than a month. I don't have a full solar charging. I have a lot of battery stuff, but it would be dead in a month, even if I could figure it out. So I'm lacking on this for sure.
Yeah, but walking through these levels and talking about these scenarios helps you start to immediately recognize, without that, for 3 months, I'm at the mercy of a lot of other factors that I would not otherwise be. All right? You should have a network of people that can help protect and keep things under control. You need strength in numbers. That's obvious, and I think that would happen naturally. It's just some groups are going to be better prepared and better able to take care of themselves, better supplied, right? And we all know what the groups that don't have supplies become. They loot. They become criminal, right? Know your neighbors. Know what you should expect from them, right? Because you're probably living near people that they're going to be in real trouble joining a group because they haven't. And they're going to rely on friends and family. A lot of people will flee your area. So it's going to be like, I believe if you're in suburban or you know, mixed rural suburban, which is most of the heartland of the country, it's going to get less populated as people flee. But you don't know. Your neighbor's brother-in-law might be headed to his house.
Yeah, good point. Exactly, right? Yeah. You're going to have a lot of weekend preppers who thought they had their stuff together, who didn't, and they're going to start panicking.
Yeah.
I would hope I wouldn't fall into that category, but I might after month two or three. You know, I'm not going to say I'm going to go raid people and stuff, but I'd be panicking for sure.
Yeah, you can see yourself in that situation. Know your neighbors. That's where all these articles of all the sources, Survivalpedia has the article I'm reading now, but many great sources, lots of great writers in these topics. It often starts talking about groups and recognizing people, the counterintelligence kind of domestic scenarios that would happen when you're in a without rule of law scenario. This article does not tend to talk about the excessive rule of law scenarios, right? It's assuming this is a without rule of law, that you have to be able to supply yourself. That the government is, at this point, at the three-month stage, the government's in its own survival mode, right?
You know, as a millennial, I will admit it. I'm just on the cusp of a millennial. I am a homeowner, though, and I do not know my neighbors very well, to be honest. And I saw an article just a month or so ago that a large, large portion of Americans don't know any of their neighbors, right? And I know a couple of them, talk some, but certainly not about something like this. So I need to make inroads in that for sure. But I don't know if I'll ever be able to get to find it and prep it with my neighbors. I don't.
Well, here's one way to do it.
I don't know if they're that type of. I don't live in that type of neighborhood.
At level three, you may get the opportunity to barter with your neighbors. Barter items are a must have. Everything from vice items to batteries will be worth trading. So if you don't meet your neighbors and figure it out now, have some batteries and some cigarettes, and you may have a grand opportunity talking to people after the three-month apocalypse.
We best of friends thereafter.
Seriously, though, a major problem would become waste disposal, yes, sanitation. You got to discard waste in a certain way. And lots of people don't know how to do it. So if you're in that densely populated area, excellent point made by this article, the local water sources and crops are going to be unusable, right? You live near a major river, it's going to be like the Indus River, which isn't really safe to drink, has never been, right? That's not typically American rivers and streams and creeks. And in a pinch, if you know how to sanitize them, you can do it up to a point, but when they become, you know, sewage infested, because there's lots of people have been to them,
yeah,
and defecating and urinating near them, it's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I got nothing. I don't even think I can take care of my own family's
Life straw that creek a little bit down by where you live.
To really know your neighbors. This is a very neighborly episode today.
Yeah, so not a good scene, not a good reason to be anywhere near mass population centers. The common sense approach is to bug out, and if you could do it safely, you know, sticking around when sanitation and water conditions, you know, are not okay in your mixed rural dense. Anywhere from the small towns out to the cities, might be time to leave them.
Yeah. And I think going into level four, first off, I wanted to, you know, we're running out of time. We're going to have to pretty much quit here in a second or two.
Save it for next episode.
When do you know to bug out? When do you know it's not going to be a level one compared to a level three? That's something we'll have to talk about in the future.
Yeah.
That's what Future Danger is kind of about, though.
Yeah, so we're going to hit off episode 81, coming right to the level four.
Right to level four. Good stuff. All right, folks. I guess that officially does it. the first episode, Patriot Power Hour on Prepper Broadcasting Network. Loved it. Good stuff, Future Dan.
And again, thank you, Intrepid Commander James Walton, for having us on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Honored to do it. Looking forward to a long string of great shows supporting this lineup. Coming up next, The Next Generation, Ryan and Colin Buford. Catch them.
Awesome. See you next week, live, Tuesday, January 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Episode 81 will be coming right at you. Catch you later.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.